Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Classics Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, I want to talk about Latin today.
Okay, go for it.
I mean, people say it's a dead language. Why should I learn Latin? And I have here an answer to that question.
You do?
I do. I mean, someone sent us this list of handy Latin phrases, you know, phrases that anyone might find useful.
Oh, you mean like anyone traveling to ancient Rome?
Yeah. Well, look, you studied Latin, didn't you?
Well, yes, I did, under Claudius and Nero.
All right. Well, let's see how much you remember.
Uh-oh.
I'll give you the phrase, and you guess the English translation. And remember, these are handy Latin phrases.
I mean, something that an ordinary Latin would use in the normal day, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much?
Pretty
so
much.
So I got a shot, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's one.
Isn't compost mentis?
That's not on here. Mihi ignosce cum homine de carne debeo congredi.
How do you spell that last word?
C-O-N-G-R-E-D-I.
Oh, congredi.
Yes.
Oh, I like hot dogs with I'd like hot dogs with gravy.
Not bad. You're very close.
My tell me about my dog. I lost my dog. Did my dog pee in your lawn?
You don't know how close you are. Here's the translation. Excuse me, I have to see a man about a dog.
Oh, I was close.
You got carne there. I knew you were going to get. All right, here's a simple one. Braca tuai aperiuntur.
Let me see. Braca tuai. Tuai is your.
Yeah.
I got to break your face.
No, your fly is open.
Well, that would come in handy.
Now, here's a phrase that everyone ought to know. Ready? Quantum materiae materietur, marmota monax si marmota monax materium possit materia.
How much could a man possibly stand?
How much wood would chuck? Chuck.
Well, you know.
All right, I just got a couple of more. Here's one that
I heard that Caesar uttered that just before he said "et tu, Brute," but I'm not sure.
Wait, this could really be useful. Ready?
All right.
Vescere, brasis, meus.
Vescere, V-E-S-C.
Vescere.
Yeah. Vescere, brasis.
Yeah.
Meus.
Yeah. You got it.
Yeah. Get off my lawn.
Very close. Eat my shorts.
Well, same kind of. I was giving you the literal translation.
Oh, okay.
Look,
it's amazing how much you remember, huh?
It was. It was like falling off a bicycle. Look, if you have a question about your car, since I failed miserably to answer questions about Latin, give us a call. Why not, right?
Yeah.
The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Justin calling from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hey, Justin.
Louisville.
Louisville, yes. Not Louisville or Louisville. It's Louisville.
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 Drop a couple letters out of the middle.
Louisville. Louisville, Kentucky. We're all over it,
yes.
Justin. What's up?
What's up?
Okay, I've got a 1987 Nissan 300ZX, and I have a problem. It's a nice, fast car, and I drive it like it's a sports car that it is, but when I'm in traffic and somebody cuts me off and I go to honk my horn at him, it sounds like someone just ran over a duck. It's pathetic. Like, honking the horn accomplishes nothing.
So you get a little.
Yeah, like.
But it didn't used to though, did it?
No, it's always sounded like this. This is a standard horn sound. They designed the horn to sound annoying rather than frightening in any way. So I'm hoping that you guys in your encyclopedic knowledge of cars can tell me what the most masculine sounding impressive horn ever created was. I want something that when someone cuts me off in traffic and I honk the horn at them, they're frightened by the fact that they just cut off like a tractor trailer truck or possibly
exactly.
The Titanic.
You need a horn out of like a cab over Peterbilt or something like that. Of course, in order
that won't fit under the hood.
Exactly.
Take,
I don't have
take a couple of cylinders off.
For a 20-gallon air tank and an air compressor. And
yeah, you may have to get a trailer to haul the compressor around with you and all that. But you but there are plenty of horns out there. Well, here's what you should do.
You know, the horn on my Fiat will scare the life out of anybody.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty loud.
It is.
Well, it's
beautiful.
It's axiomatic that the littlest cars have the loudest horns. It's kind of a preemptive thing. Let them know you're coming and get out of the way. They say, that's it? Just a Fiat? Well, I think you ought to find the horn that you like the best. Of all the cars that you hear honk at you, which horn to you sounds the best? Because then you can just go to that dealership and buy that horn.
Oh, I could, but the problem is, the cars that seem like they would be the most impressive don't seem to honk their horns. Like, if I cut off a Ford truck or something in traffic, the guy just puts on the brakes. He doesn't care.
Oh, no, you flip somebody an obscene gesture and they'll honk at you, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, so you're going to have to find some.
So I need to go around and be a more aggressive driver for a couple days.
A little bit more obnoxious, yeah.
I would just go into a good-sized auto supply store. And they have all kinds of horns, and you can try them all out.
I tried that. I got through about two horns before everyone else in the store got annoyed and told me to quit honking horns.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So
you got to be able to take it.
So you have a horn thing. I mean, what else about this car? It's just the horn, huh?
Yeah, just the horn. I mean, the rest of the car is great.
If you gang horns together, you can have more than one horn. And most cars have two horns.
It's got two, but they're both
terrible.
But you can get rid of those two horns and replace them with two other horns. And if you purchase two horns from the parts store, one a low frequency and the other one a high frequency, the combination of the two, which you weren't able to do in the parts store because somebody would have hit you over the head with a case of oil, the combination of the two may be just what you need. See, as is often the case with people who are dissatisfied with something in their lives, they tend to go to the other extreme. So you want the biggest honking, obnoxious horn you can get when all you really need is an adequate horn. And you'd be happy. If you had had an adequate horn, you wouldn't have this horn envy now. Are you lying down on the couch?
I am. I'm a psychology major. So, I have that overcompensating, that need to overcompensate.
Well, when you go to the parts store, I mean, they got to let you hear the horns, because how else are you going to know which one you want?
Well, I don't think they're going to let you do that. I think you need to bring a 12-volt battery and a pair of jumper leads. I think that'll work.
Yeah, that'll do it.
All right. Sounds good.
And buy a low and a high and replace the two horns you have with those, and I think you'll be happy.
Okay, then.
Yeah, and don't go overboard, because then everyone will hate you. When you sound that horn, they say, oh, geez, it's Justin with that ZX. We got to kill him. Yeah, don't forget, you don't want to go from too wimpy to too obnoxious, at least not too fast.
All right, sounds good.
See you, man.
All right, thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK.
That's going to be the easiest call we're ever going to get.
Maybe. There's always hope, though. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Angie Mason. I'm calling from the sunny city of Hermosa Beach, California.
Hi, Angie. Hermosa Beach.
That's right.
I don't think I've ever been there, but it's
Where is Hermosa Beach?
Hermosa Beach is on the coast, just south of Santa Monica.
Perfect.
And where are you really from?
Well, originally I'm from New Zealand.
Aha. Uh-huh. No wonder we were confused.
And it wasn't idyllic enough in New Zealand that you had to leave?
Actually, I ended up moving from New Zealand to London, where I lived for about 5 or 6 years. And I've been in Hermosa for about a year now.
Oh,
wow.
Are you staying put for a while?
Well, I think so. I moved here to get married.
Oh. So you'll be there for a couple of years anyway. Anyway, Angie, how can we help you?
Thanks for calling.
Now that we know your entire history.
That's okay. I'm calling. I have a Jeep Grand Cherokee, 2002, and sometimes when I get in and I turn the key, nothing happens.
And what do you do when nothing happens?
Well, it's a bit embarrassing, but I'll tell you. Basically, it's an automatic car, so I put the gear into neutral.
Yeah.
I put my foot out the door, I push it back a few inches, and then I jam the gear stick into park.
Aha.
And then it kind of rocks a bit. Then I can turn the key and it will start.
When you say it does nothing, that nothing, when you put the key in and turn it and try to start it, it clearly doesn't start. But if you notice that everything else works, I mean, the lights work, the radio will work, if on, but it just won't turn over. The engine won't start.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. It's like all the lights come on and I can put the radio on.
Yeah. Well, it's not likely to be a starter motor, although it could be.
No, I don't think
so. It could
be.
I think it's something rather called the neutral safety switch.
That's what I think it is.
Neutral safety switch.
Have you ever tried starting it in neutral as opposed to park?
I don't think I have, no.
Oh, you should.
It's...
Because we're going to bet that it's going to start right up.
Really? I thought that you couldn't start an automatic in neutral.
Oh, yeah. Is the car nearby?
It's just out in the car park at work.
Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk to another caller. You go out to the parking lot. We call them parking lots in the U.S. of A.
Yeah.
you can go out to the car park. Or car park is nice. It's like an idyllic place with trees growing.
Where the cars hang out,
exactly. try to start it in park.
Yep.
If it fails to start with the key on, your foot on the brake, shift it into neutral.
Okay.
And then try to start it in neutral. If it doesn't start in neutral, try moving the shifter back and forth. You might have to switch hands. But while you're holding the key to the start position, jiggle the shifter in that neutral position and see if, in fact, it doesn't start.
You're not going to move it to another position. Just leave it in neutral, but jiggle it back and forth.
Sounds very complicated.
Yeah, it is. You might need a third hand. You might need an assistant to come with you.
I can do that. We have one of the building inspectors here. You can come.
Excellent.
Now, if it starts in park, you'll have learned nothing. But if you try several times to start it in park and one of those times it doesn't start, then you can shift out of park into neutral and see if it starts. And if that's the case, you need a neutral safety switch. There's also a possibility that the switch is out of adjustment. That switch, if I'm not mistaken on this vehicle, can be adjusted and moved. And if the switch is out of adjustment, sometimes if you slam it into park, you can get it to work. And that, I think that's maybe what you've been doing.
That's right.
Yeah.
But if it is out of adjustment, you'll find that it'll start in neutral by also moving the shifter.
Jiggling.
Just
jiggling.
Jiggling up toward reverse and a little bit towards drive, but never really leaving neutral.
Okay.
Give this a shot, and we'll talk to you in a while.
I'll go and give it a jiggle.
Good luck getting, good luck getting back to us. See you, Angie.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, this is Michael calling from Jacksonville, Florida.
Hey, Michael, what's happening?
Well, I got a 2000 Suzuki Swift, and when the car's rolling, it makes this noise. It sounds like it's coming from the back of the vehicle, and it goes...
And I like it.
Sounds like the guys who were jackhammering my driveway this morning.
It's not related to the muffler or the exhaust or anything like that.
When you take your foot off the gas, does the noise go away?
No, it does not. The only time the noise goes away is when I take a right-hand turn.
Right.
That's what he said, right.
Right.
Right-hand turn.
Was that right?
Yeah, right.
That's correct, and right.
That's correct and right.
And I'm going to guess the noise
is coming from the back.
It's coming from the right side of the car.
I think it is, yes. Mm-hmm. From the right rear.
And how long has this been going on?
Well, I'll tell you, I bought the car about 10,000 miles ago, and just the other day I noticed, hey, when I take a right, the noise is gone, so I've decided to drive in circles from now on.
Yeah, that's not a bad solution.
What, and
make the noise again.
Can you affect it by stepping on the brake while you're making a turn or not making a turn?
I do not believe so. The only way it changes is because as the car slows down, the repetitions slow down.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Well, without beating around the bush anymore, I will tell you that you have a bad wheel bearing.
Bad wheel bearing, okay.
And it may be on the right rear, but I'm going to guess that when they take it apart, they're going to realize it's the right front.
Think so.
Just a guess.
And what do you think I'm looking at on repairs on that?
If it's the rear, it's probably about half the price of the front. The front, I'm going to guess, is $250 or so.
Oh, not bad. Okay, great.
$275. How about $300?
We're
having a special today at $350. It's dangerous. Because if it's been doing it for this long, the bearing is about to melt. And what you're hearing the grease has probably escaped 10,000 miles ago. So what you're hearing is the balls in the bearing rotating around the cage. Okay, and pounding against what's called the races. Every bearing has something called an inner race and an outer race, and what separates the two things is either balls or rollers. And this noise you hear, if you think about it, sounds like a bunch of rocks rolling around in a cage.
High-pitched rocks, yes.
High-pitched, yeah. Oh, they're little rocks. You know, they're about a quarter of an inch in diameter.
Okay.
You know, so that's why you're getting that noise. And the reason it's so loud is that it's really in bad shape. And at some point, when the last of those rocks gets pulverized, because right now they're getting made, they're being made smaller and smaller because the lubricant has been, you know, taken
and
away.
Pretty soon the noise will be gone because the bearing will turn to dust.
And that wheel that that bearing was attached to will be out on the side of the road while you're honking along at about 60.
How far is the shop that you have to get to?
Well, I could pick one pretty close. I mean, Jacksonville's a big city. There's shops all over the place. But hopefully I'll go home and pick a better one.
Yeah, yeah. Where's you've been driving. It's a Minneapolis.
No, you don't want to drive too far.
Okay.
Yeah. Get it done today.
Okay.
Promise?
I will do that.
Say it, Michael.
Have a good one, guys.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. Hey, do you remember last week's puzzler?
I certainly do. Not.
All right, then I'll remind you. It was a puzzler about discomfort, insufferability, harebrained theories, gross misunderstandings, personal insults, unsupportable exaggerations, and indigestion.
Sounds like Thanksgiving at our house.
You got it!
What? How did I get it?
Well, I was close enough. The puzzler was about a meal with the Magliozzis, and we'll be back with the whole story and, of course, more of your car questions in just a minute.
Well, when you threw in indigestion, what else could it be?
Exactly.
She ain't covered up with chrome layer upon layer. Front seat's a little ripped. Paint job's only fair. Carries a load, Lord, just like she should. That's my 53 Chevy. Runs good. Now and then there are things you just got to move, like a cord of oak for your wood-burning stove. She carries more wood than a woodchuck ever could. That's my 53 Chevy. Runs good.
And even though hog farmers turn to each other and say, imagine working around that all day whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says, listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Okay, give it to me.
Here's the scene. It's dinner time, and the extended Magliozzi family has gathered for a meal. There's Cousin Nunzio, Cousin Nunzio's brother Nunzio, there's Uncle Nunzio, Uncle Guido, Aunt Guido, you know, the whole group. And as usual, when the whole clan gets together, there's also lots of what?
Noise.
Exactly. Well, somehow, above the cacophony, my usually quiet wife made herself heard. Check this out, she shouted. My knife and fork are stuck to each other, kind of like they're magnetized. Well, sure enough, one of them, the knife, was indeed magnetized. In fact, it was such a strong magnet that she was able to pick up my entire set of keys with that knife.
Wow.
She had dropped my keys in the soup, but there's another story. Anyway, one of the boys figured out that his knife was magnetized, too, but the polarity was the reverse of hers. Not that it makes a difference, just a little obfuscation.
Yeah.
We all kind of puzzled over this phenomenon for a while until finally my niece offered an explanation, and when we checked out her theory, we discovered that she was right. The question is, why were the knives magnetized? And I gave a hint. We stuck Tommy with the check.
Wait a minute, what check?
Ah, that's the hint.
Oh.
We were out to dinner. It wasn't a family dinner at home. We were at a restaurant.
Oh, that's the
And
hint.
Restaurants
we
have
stuck
a...
stuck Tommy with the check.
We stuck Tommy with the check. He didn't know he was getting stuck with the check until he arrived. But restaurants do an interesting thing. They have such large losses of silverware that they throw into their trash receptacle an enormous magnet. So when the kids are, the bus people, the bus boys are cleaning off the tables and throwing away all the foodstuffs and whatever.
And they're throwing away half of the...
Well, they're not looking. They're talking about where they're going to go out that night. And the forks and the spoons and the knives all go flying off. They get stuck to this magnet. If it's on there long enough, it gets pretty magnetized.
Wow.
So that's how it happens. So the next time you're at a restaurant, you can do a little parlor trick. Find a utensil that's magnetized. And you can pick up somebody's keys and drop their keys in their own, in your soup. Anyway, who's our winner?
The winner this week is Beth Bartholomew from Carr, Colorado. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Beth is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can get a little more than 1.5 copies of our new book, Ask Click and Clack.
Now, people may not know this, regular listeners, that we also write a weekly newspaper column in which people send us their car questions, you know?
Well, the column sort of got off to a kind of a rocky start.
It did, but once we realized that we should print answers, too, it kind of really took off. And this book is a collection of some of our favorite columns.
And it's yours, Beth, if you want it, for being this week's puzzler winner.
Now, if you didn't win, stay tuned, because there's a new puzzler coming up soon. Meantime, we'll take your car questions at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Angie calling back.
Angie! It's been so long.
I know, it's a long way to the car park.
To the car, I know.
Sure, I believe it.
So what did you find out, if anything?
Well, what you suggested I do, it actually worked.
So when you first tried to start it, it didn't start.
That's right.
You put it in neutral.
I did.
And it started.
It did, yeah.
Then my brother was absolutely correct.
Hallelujah. Right.
So it's the neutral safety switch.
Neutral safety switch. If you decide not to replace it, you can continue just starting it in neutral until that stops working, and then you'll have to walk home.
And how long have I got, do you think?
Oh,
it's hard to know.
Forever.
And like I said during our first conversation, it's possible that it's just out of adjustment. So I would take it someplace, have them adjust it, and then get an estimate on what it would cost to replace it.
Okay. All right, I shall take it in and have it adjusted.
Bite the bullet.
Give me a quote, exactly. I think it's good to do.
I think so, too.
Great.
See you, Angie.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK, that's 888. That was like an instant stump the chumps, like instant messaging.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
I have to find out right away.
It's perfect.
I don't like that. 888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-227.
Luckily, it was a reasonable answer.
8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. Who's this?
I mean, who are you?
My name is Jeff Shelley. I'm from Carlstadt, New Jersey.
Is that Jeff with a J?
Jeff with a J.
Carlstadt.
Yep.
We don't know what that is, but we know where New Jersey is approximately.
Okay, well, we're right behind Giant Stadium.
Oh, okay. Oh, right next to Jimmy Hoffa. Never mind. So what's going on, Jeff?
Well, I own a 1994 Isuzu Rodeo. My wife and I have some property in upstate New York, and the problem is when I do drive it up there and we leave it overnight, I will often find the clutch pedal all the way down to the floor. And this doesn't happen anywhere else.
Raccoons. So did you buy this in 1994?
No, I bought this about 4 years ago when we bought the property, and it had 130,000 miles on it. It's got 220,000 on it now. But, you know, I only bought it for $1,000, and it was just to get up there. But it's turned into my everyday driving car, thanks to my son becoming a driver and taking my car.
Well, when you say up there, it's up there because it's upstate, or it's up there also because it's on a mountain as well?
It's about 2,000 feet above sea level.
Oh, okay. You silly guy. What the heck are you doing up there? So this clutch pedal that has sunk to the floor,
mm-hmm.
is it in colder weather that it's done this?
I wouldn't say it does get colder up there at night, but this is in the middle of summer.
This is in the middle of summer.
And then what happens? Well,
I pick it up with my toe and I pump it really hard, and eventually it comes back to life. I have tried bleeding the clutch, but, you know, I'm watching the bubbles go down a clear plastic tube, and it kind of looks like soda.
I love it.
And this never happens
happens when I'm back home. So what I'm asking, I guess, is there a restorative fluid that I could put in my clutch master cylinder?
Well, yes, banana puree, is. Maybe.
I was thinking of an automatic transmission.
So, yeah, they could do that. So it must have something to do with the altitude, but 2,000 feet. I mean, I know what's happening.
2,000 feet ain't much.
It ain't much. I know what's happening, but I don't know why. And I know what the remedy is, but I don't
know why either.
Well, no, I know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And
And you don't know why.
I'm trying to think of something he might believe.
No, he doesn't have to
believe it. I don't want it to be too expensive.
No, it's not going to be too. What's wrong, I'm pretty sure, is your clutch master cylinder is no good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if I'm not mistaken, this thing has an assist spring on the clutch pedal mechanism to make it actually easier to depress the clutch. And overnight, it's pushing the pedal down to the floor against the pressure of the clutch master cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, against the hydraulic pressure, because there isn't enough resistance in there. Why it does it there?
Why it does it on the little mountain?
Mm-hmm. Now, when you do pump the pedal, how many pumps does it take you before you've restored it to the point where you can actually shift it?
Oh, a good 15 to 20.
Really?
I mean,
they have to be really violent pumps to get it to...
That is symptom. What you're doing when you violently pump it like that is you're actually expanding the seal in the clutch master cylinder and getting it to work. Mm-hmm. You know, because by pumping it, you've created some friction. You've kind of massaged that seal a little bit. And in doing so, you've gotten the thing to build up pressure. I'd be willing to bet if after you've restored it like that, if you sat there and held your foot on the pedal for a minute or so, held it all the way to the floor for a minute or two, you would no longer be able to shift it because gradually you would lose the pressure that the master cylinder delivers to the slave cylinder. And as such, the clutch would become engaged and you'd be unable to shift.
Mm.
You know, so that's the definitive test for a faulty clutch master cylinder. And that's got to be it. If it were the slave cylinder, you'd be losing fluid, and you're clearly not losing fluid.
No.
The clutch master, the fluid is just bypassing the seal, and it's not creating pressure to disengage the clutch. So why it... When you go up north there, what the hell are you doing up there anyway?
We have a house up there.
You
We're
have a
enjoying
house.
The clean air and the, you know, it's nice.
That's it, clean air. The guy's from New Jersey.
So, but it never sits for any longer period of time up in the mountains than it does in New Jersey. I mean,
it doesn't.
I don't know why a 2,000-foot differential in altitude should
Makes
do it.
Makes no sense
but
to me either.
That's what. A replacement master cylinder will do it.
Well, I didn't want to have to spring for that, but I guess...
No. I mean, of all the things that it could be, this is pretty cheap. In fact, you know, you can buy this piece for probably $150,
mm-hmm.
and you can install it yourself.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you very much.
See you, Jeff.
All right, see ya.
Bye-bye.
Strange,
bye. I'm sure there's going to be a service bulletin on this for this vehicle, or someone with a rodeo has got to have an answer that's better than ours.
Well, I think the answer is okay. It's just the reason for the problem is not clear at all. 2,000 feet?
Yeah, just like most of our answers.
It's
not
like
clear
going up to the second floor of your house.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Forrest in Phoenix, Arizona.
Forrest?
Yeah, Forrest.
You got to explain it to us.
No.
Well, people always ask if it's a family name, and I say yes, not my family, though. My parents were hitchhiking in the 60s and met an old man who talked all about his lovely granddaughter, Forrest, and they thought, if we ever have a baby girl, we'll name her Forrest.
And they did.
And they did.
They did.
And who was this baby girl?
Who's the other baby girl? Who's the other Forrest?
I don't know. She's out there somewhere living her life.
No kidding. Maybe this is a way that the two of you can get together.
Isn't that amazing? Maybe so.
Well, she may be a Car Talk listener. You never know.
I would hope so.
Anyway, what can I do for you, Forrest?
Well, not too long ago, I was listening to your show, and a woman called in, and she had taken her car for an oil change at a national chain rhyming with Gears. And they told her she needed a fuel line flush, so she did it. And 6 months later, when she took her car in for another oil change, they told her she needed it done again, and they gave her the same little, here's the sad story with this dirty piece of cloth. And she knew, or she suspected, and you confirmed that she had been taken for a ride.
Mm-hmm. I suspect we're about to hear another tale of woe.
No, I refuse to be a tale of woe, but that's why I'm calling you guys.
Okay.
I have been told that I needed to have this done when I took my car into a different chain.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to go home and talk to my husband. But my husband hadn't heard of anybody ever needing that. So my question is, What is a fuel line flush? Does anybody ever really need one? And how do I know if I need one?
All very good questions.
Ah, very, very good.
First of all, what does the national chain to which you took your car rhyme with?
Oh, no, I was afraid you were going to ask
me course.
That.
No, we're just curious.
It's multiple words. It's complicated. Let's see. Fannies, parasol, bar, Bosch.
What was that again?
Fannies, parasol, bar, Bosch.
Bar, Bosch. This is so a national chain.
The
huh?
national chain.
I don't
has,
know
is
if it's a national
words?
Chain, but it's a big chain here in Arizona.
Oh, okay. It might not have made it to the East Coast.
Maybe not.
No, because we don't know what that is.
Okay, so they've escaped for the time being. So you went to this place with what kind of a car, by the way?
It's an 02 Hyundai Sonata.
And it was running poorly.
Well. It's an 02 Hyundai Sonata.
What do you want?
It's got a few rattle-tat-tats, and it's just passed its warranty, so of course it's got a few more rattle-tat-tats.
Ah, so you see, you're vulnerable now. When people are out of warranty, they're easy pickings.
Yeah. But they said that even before. I mean, they've said this to me. Now, they've told me I needed a steering fluid flush, and they've been down the list of flushes I need. But
well, these guys, there may be four flushers. Now you're gonna need a coolant flush, power steering flush, transmission flush, and a fuel line flush.
That's
those are the
right.
four flushes right there. Yeah. So
and it's always they're so convincing. They bring you the evidence, and they always look at you like you must be crazy. We hope you don't blow up before you get to the next stoplight if you refuse.
Well, unlike the caller a few weeks ago who had the flush done and then they tried to sell her another one, you haven't had anything done yet.
I haven't had that done yet.
But I had to ask, I mean, generally, you don't need, and the normal cars that are running properly don't need to have the fuel system flushed. I mean, the fuel filter and the detergents in the gasoline generally take care of that whole thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's entirely possible that for the life of the car, you'll never accumulate enough of any of the gums and varnishes and other deposits to adversely affect the way the fuel injectors work.
Uh-huh.
Now, that being said, can it hurt anything? No.
Well, besides my pocketbook.
And how much did they want for the aforementioned flush?
I think like $70.
70?
Oh, that's pretty cheap. We charge $135. But we try to do it only to cars that need it.
Oh, well, thank you.
You know, and they might be doing it, you know. So, I mean, to be fair to them, they may have seen something. But generally, it would not be anything that they would be able to see insofar as how the fuel looked.
Now, how do I know as a driver?
Well,
when I'm looking
the way
for
the car runs. Does it idle smoothly? Does it accelerate smoothly? Does it seem to have sufficient power? Does it seem to stutter and shudder when you try to accelerate it? Or does it run badly at idle?
And if you were just sitting there with the engine running, you would feel and hear the engine start to move just a little bit, a little vibration.
Yeah, a little roughness.
It is, but I just thought that was partially age and maybe needed a general
tune-up. Oh, you know what? You need a fuel line flush.
How many miles on the Hyundai?
70,000.
70,000. Well, I mean, it may be that you need a tune-up. You know, who knows? I mean, a dirty air filter can certainly cause this, or bad spark plugs. And my guess is in 70,000 miles, you may not have done anything to this car. But I would certainly start by looking at those things and changing whatever of those pieces needed to be changed, including the fuel filter, before you commit yourself to anything else.
Okay.
And then have that stuff done, either by this shop or someone else, and then see how the car runs.
Okay. Oh, I love you guys. I knew that you would help me feel like I could stand up to these guys and have some sign of knowledge here.
Well, great. Forrest, just say no.
Thank you.
Just say no.
Tell
to
them
fuel
you just
line
had
flushes.
It done.
Yeah, stand
you
up for yourself.
You won't believe it. I just had it done last week.
There you go. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, look, before we get to this week's new puzzler, we have to take a short break. And I want to remind parents out there that they can always avail themselves of a free podcast of this week's show.
Why are you directing that message just to parents?
Well, we did some research, and it turns out the most common use for the podcast is threatening to play it in the car.
You can stop fighting back there or I'll put on car talk.
Oh, no, not that. Anyway, when we come back, I'll have the new puzzler, which is from my Grand Theft Auto series.
Yeah, and we have time for more calls, too, so please stay tuned.
There's a boneyard in Benton County, backed up against a railroad line. Memories in two-ton Chevys rust away in time. Ghosts are real and made of iron and steel. They bake in the sun. The rain makes them shine. In the boneyard of Benton County, they come alive.
And even though lifelong Navy officers reach for the Dramamine whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Hmm.
I said this was from my Grand Theft Auto series.
Yes, you did right? say that.
This was sent in by a fellow named Kurt Anderson. I don't know when he sent it in. Oh, a long time ago. No, not that long ago. Anyway, he writes, when I was a student in Santa Barbara, California in the early 70s, this story really happened.
Okay? Yeah.
I've saved it for 35 years because I know there are many thousands of listeners in Santa Barbara, and by waiting for this length of time, perhaps some of these residents have forgotten about this story.
Ah.
So he's figuring that he didn't want to give anyone an unfair advantage.
Yeah.
Here it is. A car was stolen off the lot of a used car dealer. The car was found by the police and eventually returned to the dealer. A few days later, you ready for this? The exact same car was stolen again. Again, the police found the car, and it was eventually returned to the dealer.
Oh,
the second time.
Yeah.
This time, however, a few days later, the owner of the used car dealership was arrested.
Ooh.
Question is, why? You know, and just so you don't say, well, he was obviously, you know, an accomplice, just so you don't do that. He was not involved in any manner in either of the thefts, as either the thief or an accomplice or anything of that nature. But he clearly had committed some kind of a crime that he was arrested for. What was it? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a Series 3 high-definition TiVo DVR with THX certification, dual tuners, digital and analog capability, of course, backlit 36-button programmable infrared remote, 2-terabyte digital drive with a 292-hour HD recording time, online scheduling, and dual potato chip bag holders. Because you're going to need those, right? And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
Right now, if you have a question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Nate, and I'm calling from Summit, Wisconsin, which is just south of Oconomowoc.
Oh, thank God you live in Summit.
Yes, truly.
What's up, Nate?
It's just south of what?
Oconomowoc.
Oconomowoc, Wisconsin.
Yes, five
yes.
O's.
But the seat cover convention was there 2 years ago. You don't remember?
It may have been. There's a convention center right in town.
Yeah, okay, no, he went there. Right. We sent him there for the seat cover and air freshener convention. He went there, and I went to Honolulu. Anyway.
So what's up, Nate?
So my wife and I are driving down the expressway. And all of a sudden, we hear this super loud sound. It sounds kind of like this. And my heart started racing, and I thought the front tire was going to fly off the passenger side. And we're like, what the heck is going on? It sounded like something was whapping against maybe the frame really fast, you know. So it was a high-pitched sound, and immediately we slowed down, and the sound got a little bit less. And then I pulled over and stopped, and then obviously the sound stopped. And then we started back up again thinking, oh, it's probably fine, but we should get this checked out. And then down the road a couple more miles, starts doing the same thing again.
Oh, so did the noise stop when you stopped moving, but the engine was still running?
Yes. And then later I got more bold and kept driving it thinking, well, it's an older car, so maybe the damage is already done. And it usually lasts 10 to 15 seconds, and then it stops.
Huh.
Really?
And if you went faster, it did the same thing?
Yeah, and it really wasn't a higher frequency at a higher speed, but then I started to experiment with it and popped it into neutral, and it immediately stopped.
It stopped when you, even though you were traveling at the same speed, pretty much.
Yes.
It stopped when you put it in neutral.
Correct.
But here's what I'm thinking.
Oh. That's interesting.
I think most people's initial reaction would be that it's coming from the wheels or something like that.
Yeah.
But in fact, when
But
when you put it in neutral, you're also slowing the engine down because you didn't take you took your foot off the gas and you didn't leave your foot on the gas.
Right.
It could be coming from under the hood. And when you stopped and pulled over, the engine was idling, but it wasn't running at 3,000 RPM.
Right.
Like it does at high speed. So you could be thinking that the noise is coming from the car, that, a car that has to be moving, but in fact it may be just a car that has to have its engine running at 3,000 RPM, which is what it does at high speed.
And you could have found this out when you put it in neutral. If you had revved it up, would the noise have still been there? That's the question.
Right, and we did that, and we didn't get anything.
Uh-huh.
We didn't get that sound, and then I did take a guy out with me who said that he knew a lot about cars, and then he stuck his head out the window and said, oh, no, it's not the front tire. It actually sounds like it's coming from underneath the car, and he's mentioned something about the bell housing or the transfer case or something. So,
What kind of vehicle is this again?
It's a 97 Ford Explorer. And it's got a lot of miles on it. And
what's a lot?
197.
What are your expectations for this thing?
Well, I've been the original owner and love the car, but now I'm at the point where, wow, should I put another $500, $1,500 into this thing, or should I put that along the street with a and sell it
with a take me sign or a kick me sign? And
there's a lot of them for sale out there right now, so it's definitely a buyer's market. But I love car, and I'd like to pull the boat around with it. So I'd like to try to keep it.
So this is an automatic transmission.
Right.
Well, it certainly could be the transmission. And the easiest way to find out is to take it to your shop and have them put it on the lift. And when you put it on the lift, you can run. You can actually simulate driving the thing. Somebody will sit in it and step on the gas and, have it go shift up through the gears.
Okay.
And all four wheels will turn. Okay. And then you should be able to hear the noise. At least the person inside should be able to hear it. In other words, the person inside with the windows closed ought to be able to hear the sound. If it's coming from the transmission, it could be serious. It could be your torque converter is going bad.
Okay, and do you know anyone that'll put it up in the air for me without any money up front?
No.
Okay.
No. And,
up in the air costs money.
Okay.
Well, unless it's a place that you go to, you have a shop that you go to regularly? I don't think so, huh?
No, I'd take it to the dealer, but I may take it to another guy that I've heard would do a good job.
Yeah, well, in which case, you better expect to compensate him for his time, unless you use the time-honored. You don't know this fellow at all, huh?
But I could say I know someone who knows him, and then he'll.
Could that person go with you?
Sure.
Well, you and that person show up in your vehicle, and you bring 6 coffees and a dozen donuts.
Right.
There's 6 people who work at the shop. You'll have to find that out.
Yeah, and if not, I'm sure he'll have no trouble polishing off 6 donuts.
So you bring the 6 coffees and a dozen donuts.
Yeah.
And your friend says, geez, could you throw this on the lift for my friend Nate and see what this noise is? And then he'll be embarrassed about charging you to listen to it.
Right.
After all, you were so nice to bring in donuts. I'll tell you, this works on us all the time. People bring in coffee and donuts, and we put cars up on the lift all day long and send them down, and we don't charge anyone anything. And we're getting fatter.
There are 4 guys there that are at least 280.
Oh, we got 2 guys at the shop that are 2 submarine sandwiches away from weighing 300 pounds.
That sounds like the trick. I'm going to definitely try that.
All right, good luck. Keep us posted, man.
Thanks, fellas. I appreciate it.
All right, bye.
See you.
888 cars.
Not more donuts, please.
Oh, yeah, we got a couple of guys who are ready to go over the top, man.
I'm going over there right now.
888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Tara from Fremont, California.
T-A-R-A.
You got it.
Yeah.
And where are you from?
Fremont.
Fremont, California.
And where are you talking from? What?
Did you just recently subscribe to Time Magazine? They gave you a free phone?
You
sound like you're in a tiled restroom.
Is that better?
Not really, but...
But it doesn't matter. We can understand you.
Well, I just picked up my headset versus my hand
phone. Oh, okay. Got it. All
okay.
right.
Yeah.
All right. Now that we get that out of the way, what's up, Tara?
Well, I got to tell you that just recently I met a Stanford medical student that is out here from New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And when he got into Stanford, he basically uprooted his entire life, rented his house, packed up everything he owned, and he bought a Volkswagen Vanagon, a 1987 year model, and drove to California, and he's been so busy with school that he rarely ever goes home to the place that he rented out here. So he's basically living in the van in the Stanford parking lot.
Yeah, well, that's what they're for.
Yeah, so we've gone out on a couple dates, and I've become aware of the situation. And I'm just, you know, asking for advice. You know, should I continue dating him? Are people that live in vans reliable? Like, I just need some advice, you know?
Does it smell bad in the van again?
No, it doesn't really smell bad.
Oh, that's good.
He keeps it in very good repair.
And I'm sure he uses the athletic facilities at the school to shower and, you know, maintain a you know, decent level of hygiene.
Yes, he is able to shower there at the hospital.
Okay.
So you're just concerned about the psychology of a
right, and the basic character type.
Yeah.
Of the van dweller.
You know, I didn't really want to say it, but that phrase did enter my mind.
Yeah, well, there is a certain psychosis involved. And how long has he been in the van?
Gosh, he's been out here for almost a year, is what he's telling me.
And he has an apartment.
Yeah, he just, you know, doesn't want to go there. He's like, I suppose that Stanford is quite rigorous, and he's at the library till late at night, and, you know, it takes a long time to get anywhere here in the Bay Area, so he just figures it's easier to just crash.
How long might it take him to get from the school to his apartment?
I think it's about 25 minutes.
That's pretty far.
It's pretty far.
That's pretty far. So what's going to be his specialty in the medical field?
Physician assistant, actually.
Oh, physician, a PA.
Yeah, a PA.
It's a three-year program, usually.
Yeah, and at Stanford, it's 16 months. So
it's an accelerated program.
Yeah, drinking from a fire hose.
So you've heard of this apartment, of its existence, but you haven't actually seen it.
I have not.
Yeah, I doubt if it exists. Has he begun, this is very important, pay attention. Has he begun to grunt at all?
Especially
when he's eating meals. If you eat a meal with him, sometimes you'll notice people will eat something and they'll
No, I haven't noticed any grunting.
No, you should pay attention, because this is one of the things that happens to people who live in vans. After a while, they revert to a prehistoric being.
Yeah.
So he changed. Does he look normal? Does he change his clothes? Is he shaved? Doesn't shave, huh?
Yeah, he's very well groomed. I mean, you would never know just from looking at him.
Is he a nice guy?
Yeah, he's super nice.
Is he good looking?
Yeah, he's very attractive.
Well, two out of three ain't bad. He's good looking, he's nice, but he's a nut job. What the hell do you want?
I know, but what do I tell my mom?
Oh, I don't think I'd tell your mom anything.
No, I wouldn't tell your mother anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's going to be there for a while, and at some point he may decide to give up the van. But you may, I hate to recommend this, but
what?
You may have to get him drunk.
Why?
Really?
Because, you know, in vino veritas, he might tell you something when he's had a few drinks.
He sounds perfectly normal to me, frankly.
That's the problem. If he sounds normal to you, we know he's a nut. Yeah, when Tommy says, oh, he sounds good to me, then you should begin to worry.
No, I mean, he's working hard. If he's got a change of clothes, and maybe on the weekends, he goes to his apartment and gets a couple of more pairs of
pants. There is no apartment. The apartment he has is in New Hampshire.
He's got to have another pair of clothes.
No, he's got clothes scattered around the van. He's got stuff in there.
Tara, I think you got a good guy here. I like him.
Here's what I recommend.
I like him already.
Well, I know you do. That's what worries me. I think at the first opportunity, you should introduce him to your mother. And I'll tell you why. Mothers have an instinct about these kinds of people.
Oh, yeah, but what has that got to do with the daughter? Mother doesn't like her, what is that supposed to
do? Then you dump them. No, your mother may say, you may get the look from your mother.
That's the look I'm afraid of.
Well, exactly. But then you have to
reassess. How many mothers would
Every mother that saw you gave their daughters the warning. Did they? And they were all right. did any of them listen? Of course not.
Of course not.
No. But anyway, yeah. I would introduce this fellow to your mother ASAP.
Okay.
Yeah. And if your mother likes him, then I think there's hope. If your mother says, "Oh, I don't know what it is, Tara, but I got a bad vibe here."
Yeah.
Now, do I tell her ahead of time that
No, I wouldn't tell her.
No. He's going to school to become a physician's assistant. Yeah. So say, "Oh, really?"
I predict that your mother is going to love him.
Okay.
Because he's a sweet guy.
Is he a sweet guy?
I've never met him.
Has he taken you out any place? Have you ever left the van?
Yeah, when you have a date, do you both sit in the van?
And who sit? Does he sit in the driver's seat all the time?
It's very nice to share a cup of tea in the van.
He has a little table in the back, right?
Yeah.
Two chairs?
No chance.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, well,
Tara, I think you're in great shape here. Don't worry about anything.
Yeah, you know, and it is, as long as you think it's working, stick it out with him. See what happens.
And she's going to do that. She doesn't care what we say.
But in the meantime, keep looking around. see you, Tara.
All right, thanks.
You've been a lot of fun to talk to. By the way, I don't know whoever this guy is. I don't know anything about this fellow, but if he gets you, he's pretty lucky.
Oh, well, thank you.
You sound like a nice lady.
Thank you very much.
But listen to your mother.
Okay.
See you. Bye.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Well, pretty much. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David, the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web blackie is Doug, the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Rotterdam, Honey Ham, Candied Yam, Devil's Spam, Battered Ram, Ipswich Clam, Rack of Lamb, Kumquat Jam, and Nonstick Pam Lunchogram, John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Claudio Vernight. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Tom's memory coach is Hugh Sherlock Familia. Our retirement party planner is Louisa Jolly Goodfellow. Our staff brown noser is Hugh Luke Marvelous. Tom's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the philosopher/falafel makers in Harvard Square as Huey Louis Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 839, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a brand new advice section about how to sell your car yourself.
That's easy. Wear a mask.
Actually, there's plenty of useful information here to help you decide whether to sell the car yourself, how to prepare it for sale, how to price it.
And does it have a list of mask manufacturers?
Yeah, it has that too. Check out the brand new section on how to sell your car all this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Roger Federer beats his radio with his tennis racket whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.